So the commandment here is to reap your fields, but leave the gleanings for the poor. Reaping and gleaning. So there's the words reaping and gleaning. So when they would reap is what we're doing this time of year. We're harvesting crops. You drive around, you see the combines, and you see all that grain kind of going through there. And I always enjoy that, try to point that out to the kids. Well, right now we're reaping. And so we're out there. Back in the day, they didn't have all that machinery. That would have been tough. And so they were out there doing this by hand, reaping all these things, cutting off those ears of corn and putting them into their bushel baskets. And they're reaping. Gleaning was something that was done after the reaping. So the reaping, they're just trying to go through, get everything real quick, and then go back through would be gleaning, and that is picking up anything that we lost, picking up anything that was left behind. So there might be some ears of corn that fell on the ground. There might be the far edges of the field that hadn't really been reaped, and so we're going to go back through and get all the gleanings. That was everything left over. But God told his people, don't pick every little piece of crop. He told them in verse number 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. He said, don't reap the corner. Don't get every scrap and every scrape of your crop. Leave some. He told them in verse number 10, thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. God said, you're supposed to leave some over, leave some extra. And he said specifically in verse number 10, thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. I suppose they could have excused themselves. They could have said, well, I'm gleaning every single grape because I'm just a good steward of what God's given me. They could have excused themselves that way. I'm picking every ear of corn because God's given me this crop and I've got to scrape it all up and make sure that I hold on to all of it real good and real tight. I take account for every single penny. You know, God says, that's not exactly what I want. I don't want you going out there and, well, I'm gonna scrape and scrimp every single penny, every single dollar. I'm going to make sure I get it all in. He says, no, I want you to leave some behind. I don't want you accounting for every single ear of corn, every grain of wheat, every grape of the vineyard. Did you know God thinks so much of this command that he gives it two more times in the Old Testament? Here he gives it in Leviticus 23:22. He says the same thing. When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field. He says, don't clean it all up. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest, leave them unto the poor. He says in Deuteronomy 24:21, when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Now, some of us may be tempted to relieve our consciences because we're not farmers. Whew, I'm glad he's talking about reaping and gleaning and all that stuff, because I don't farm. And I don't have to worry about any of that. Well, let's make some modern-day application. For us, we may not be farmers, but we make some kind of income. There's some kind of earning. That comes in the form, for most of us, of currency, of dollars. How are you at things like tipping? Do you calculate the tip down to the very cent? I mean, well, you know, I'm gonna kind of just make sure that I scrape every little thing out of this. My dad taught us not to tithe that way. $37.42 to the penny. My dad said, "Look, kids, if you've made $11.20, then don't tithe $1.12. Let's go ahead and round that up. Maybe $1.50." Back in the day when we used to have quarters, or maybe $2. And so that was a principle that my dad taught us. Is it really going to hurt you to round up to the nearest dollar? Most of the time, I round up to the nearest $5 increment. And and the same with my tipping. And I know everybody's got a different thought on that. I don't round up to the nearest $5 all the time. But we ought to be okay with letting a little bit extra go. How about the person in church, which, by the way, Some of us, we don't like tipping, but I would say I would much rather give a little bit of extra money to somebody who's actually working and trying to earn that. And so I can do that through tipping. How about the person in church that you know is having a hard time? You may not be able to afford the new transmission that they need, but you can afford to give them maybe a $20 bill or a $50 bill when God blesses you with that ability. You say, well, how would I do that? Can I suggest to you not to go up to somebody necessarily unless God directs you that way? Sometimes that makes it awkward for somebody when you just kind of hand them some money. But if you are able to, sometimes you can put it in the offering. You can write somebody's name on there. Don't put your name on there. Give it anonymously. And hey, this is $40 for so-and-so. And the ushers will make sure that that goes to that person. That's a wonderful way to be able to help somebody out, to be able to show somebody that you care, that you know is going through a hard time. How about paying for somebody's meal? Look around and see who looks like the most needy person maybe in the restaurant. And put, maybe if you can't pay for the whole meal, put some money toward you. Say, oh, I don't know, they've got six kids over there and it looks like they all ordered the such and such. Well, maybe put some money toward their bill. There have been times when the Lord's put on my heart, I've seen somebody over there, a lady and her son, and I didn't want them to know it was me, but some of you have done the same thing. Don't tell them it was you. You can ask the server sometimes to give them a tract. Okay, can you go ahead and take care of their meal, put that on my card, but would you just give them this for me and tell them it's from the person that paid for their meal? I have been two or three times in a convenience store or a grocery store and had everything kind of up there and all of a sudden went to pay for it and I felt that horrible feeling. It's just a little too much room in my pocket and there's no wallet in there. And then you feel everywhere and you know it does no good. We don't know why we pat ourselves down. You know you don't stick it anywhere else, but it's a horrible feeling. And there have been times we used to do the bus route back at our former church and I would take my kids with me. And so I'd have Rosie and Cherry with me, and they would get a Pop-Tart or a granola bar at the gas station, and I'd get a coffee before we got on the bus, and we maybe had rushed out of the house, and so I didn't have my wallet. And there'd be people standing in line, and I wasn't expecting anybody to pay, but I thought, man, if I was the person standing behind me, I definitely would take care of that. It's not like we ordered the whole store. And I have yet to have somebody step up, and when I've done that, and say, hey, no, I'll put it on mine. I'm thankful there was a lady who did that for my wife not too long ago. She was over at Aldi. And I've tried to ask my wife, can you remember who that was? And she said, they switch out all the time, and I wouldn't even know her if I saw her because I would go back to that store and take care of that lady that did that. But after those situations, I told myself, I said, you know, the next time I see somebody standing in line who forgot their wallet, and I know, you got to be careful, because sometimes people might do that on purpose. Kind of get everything up there, and whoops, I don't have my money on me, and so then you got to watch that. But I said, if I ever see somebody in that situation, I'm going to try to help take care of them, and thank the Lord I've been able to do that a couple times now, and it's a blessing. And so make sure you give them a tract. Let them know that you're doing it because God loves them. Would you turn with me over to the book of Ruth really quickly? Book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. We were in Ruth the other day, right after Judges. There's no better example of this allowing the poor to glean than Boaz and Ruth. So just to give you a background on the story, Ruth has been with Naomi. Naomi lost her husband. Naomi had two sons that married wives, and both of the sons died. So there was just Ruth and her sister-in-law sticking around with Naomi. Naomi said, go find other husbands. I'm a poor widow. I can't help you anyway. Well, Ruth said, I'm going to stay with you. And so they went back to their home country in Israel, and now they've got to find a way to make a living. We don't always understand that for Ruth to do that was a big step. The ladies weren't necessarily the ones that were able to earn an income. Nowadays, you have plenty of opportunities for, whether you're male or female, to earn an income. It wasn't necessarily the case as much back then. And Ruth was not a landowner. She was also from a strange country. That's why God said, this gleaning is literally for the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and he said the stranger. Because Ruth didn't have an inheritance. She couldn't grow her own crops. And so she would have to go and glean. So she would go and find a field where someone was reaping, and then the poor would go behind them and just pick up whatever scraps they could to make themselves a meal. That's what Ruth did. Thankfully, she catches the eye of Boaz in her work. And Boaz says in verse number 11 of chapter 2, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz says, hey, I know about what you did with Naomi, and I want to be a blessing. So, verse number 15, look what he does. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. I love that. I really like this man, Boaz. He says, when she's gleaning after you and she's trying to pick up little scrapes and everything, and maybe there's little pieces of grain that have fallen, he says, just let some handfuls fall out for her. Don't make it hard for her. Just kind of make it easy. And what happened was she got home to Naomi, and she showed Naomi all that she had gleaned. Naomi said, wow, who has taken notice of you? Because Naomi knew this doesn't just happen in normal gleaning. Something's been going on. It's a wonderful story. Boaz and Ruth get married. Boaz has a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. And Jesse has a son named David that became the king of Israel. It's a wonderful ending to a story. But where did he get that idea about handfuls and not just scraps? Turn, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And we looked at part of this passage last week. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. Deuteronomy 15 and verse number 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. He says, don't harden your heart. When you see somebody who's poor, don't harden your heart. That's tough in our day and age. Sometimes you don't know what exactly people are there for. There's people on every corner. I've heard of situations where somebody will come and stand on a street corner and they'll park somewhere else so that nobody sees the car that they drove up in. So we have to use wisdom. We have to use Holy Spirit discernment. But we saw a guy the other day, and I told my kids, I said, you know, I don't necessarily want to give somebody that I don't even know money because I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. Sometimes that goes to alcohol or drugs. But what I wouldn't be opposed to doing, and I might try to do that, is get some $5 McDonald's gift cards and take that and a tract and hand them out the window. Here, that way I know it's going to go for food at least and not to anything that I wouldn't be for. But he says, don't harden your heart. And sometimes the sad thing is because there are people that are con artists out there, we can harden our heart to everybody. And then we can become comfortable just turning away our eye from anyone who's in need. And we have to be very careful of that. He says, don't harden your heart or close your hand. Verse number 8, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother. Thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. You're not supposed to give and then say, oh, well, I'm going to give this, but I sure am angry about it. He says, no, your heart is not even supposed to be grieved. You know what the Bible says in, I believe it's in the book of Luke, he says, from give to him that asketh, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. So we are supposed to give. But look what happens in verse number 10. He said, thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. He says, you give to the poor, you give to the needy, don't harden your heart, and God will make sure to bless you. That is a promise that you can bank on. God will bless the giving heart and the giving hand. And so that's where Boaz had gotten this idea, hey, that if I open my hand, God's going to surely bless me. And God said, I will bless you. You're going to become in the lineage of King David, who's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. So giving, my friend, a couple quick thoughts, and then we'll be closing out here shortly. Number one, anyone can give, even if you think you're the one who is poor. Sometimes we go around, we think, well, people do need to give to me. I wish people would open their hand to me a little bit more. No, no, no. This is a command to all of us that anyone can give. Do you know that the churches of Macedonia, the Bible says that they gave out of their deep poverty? Do you know that there was a widow woman that was walking by when there was the treasury and Jesus was standing there, and she put in two mites because that was all she had. And Jesus stopped and took note of it and said, she just gave more than everybody else. Because they all gave of their abundance, but she gave of her need. And so anyone can give. We are in a dangerous situation where we begin to think that I'm the one that everybody should be giving to. I've made a couple people mad by mentioning that. I've had talked conversation with folks and they say, well, nobody does anything for me and nobody gives me a call and I can't really get out and about like I used to. And I said, well, can you give other people a call? Do you know there's other shut-ins just like you, and they would appreciate a phone call from somebody? You know, if all the lonely people in the world would comfort each other, they wouldn't be lonely anymore. Isn't that a neat thing? And all of a sudden, there's a spirit that says, well, I can't do that. I'm just looking for everybody to minister to me. No, my friend, Jesus came to minister, not to be ministered unto. And we sink into discouragement and despondency when we look for everybody to minister to me. So you make sure that you give, even if it's like the poor widow, and God will bless that. God will bless that. Number two, don't only give depending on how they got that way. We all want to give to the person who's, well, the house burned down, they lost everything they had, and it wasn't really their fault. But God doesn't say anything about looking to make sure that they didn't get poor on their own because of bad choices. God says you're supposed to give to the poor. Now, there is some stipulations for the church giving, and you can find that in Paul's epistles where he says, now, here's how you should know whether you're going to take care of a widow or not, that the church should be chargeable to her if she's kept strangers, if she has reached and met the needs of the poor, if she herself has been faithful to the Lord. And so there are some stipulations to say, well, sometimes there's someone who's gotten that way and they've been unfaithful to the Lord, and so they're in a predicament. But oftentimes, friend, we're not necessarily supposed to look and determine how they got that way. We're supposed to give. So don't only give depending on how they got that way. Number one, anyone can give. Number two, don't only give depending on how they got that way. Number three, don't hold it over their heads. Don't act like they owe you anything. Well, I'm going to do this for you this time. And I just want you to know how great of a thing I'm doing, how low I'm stooping, and how much of myself I'm giving to you. No, you're supposed to give expecting nothing in return. Well, when I need something, I hope you come around to meet my need. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Don't gloat about it. You treat them like a brother, not an inferior. He says in Exodus 22:25, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be unto him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. And don't expect him to start doing something back for you, to jump through hoops to pay you back. So don't hold it over their heads. Number four, use the physical help to offer spiritual help. I have what I call a go and sin no more policy. That is that, you know, there are so many calls that we get at the church here for people wanting help. And so Jesus would help somebody. If somebody came to him and they were lame or they were deaf or they were maimed or a leper, and he would help them. And then a couple times you find him saying, go and sin no more. I'm going to help you out of this predicament, but here I'm going to help you spiritually, and you need to start to seek the Lord, because there is sometimes a way that we got into that predicament. I tell people, I say, I'm not just a social worker. I'm not just an Uber driver. I'm not a taxi driver. I'm a pastor, or I'm a Christian. And so I do want to help meet this need physically, but I also want to talk about your spiritual need. And so sometimes that can be an open door. Now, be careful about trying to lead somebody to the Lord real quick. You know, here, I'll give you this gift card if you can let me lead you to the Lord, because of course they're going to pray. So be careful about watching the motive, because you may lead them to do something that's not sincere, but you certainly can go ahead and give them some truth, preach the gospel to them, and see where they're at. And so I tell people that. I had a conversation with somebody recently, and I said, well, no, you know, the only thing I'm expecting you to do is hear me out, because I want to help you to be in a situation where God can bless your life. And if there's something that you are doing, I use it as a time to maybe address some things in their life. Hey, I've got a form that I've had people fill out, and I'm not saying do this with everything you give, but as an organization of a church, I say, how's your church attendance been? Have you been faithful to church? Have you been faithful to give to the Lord? I'm a firm believer, and I don't care what your circumstance is, I'm a firm believer in tithing, and the Lord will reward you for that. I will never apologize for that. Because 10% for somebody who makes $100 is 10% for somebody who makes $1,000 or $100,000. 10% is a percentage. That's why God didn't lay out a flat fee right there. Everybody must give $100. No, because some people can't give that, but everybody can give 10% of whatever it is that you're making. And that's not because the church needs money. That is because you need to trust God with your finances, and then God will show you great and mighty things which you know not. God will come through and show you things that how he can actually meet needs when you trust him with finances. And so I ask him things like that. How's your giving been? What things, is there anything in your life that you're doing and you're living in sin purposefully and not seeking the Lord's help to change? So we can address some of those things. So use the physical help to offer some spiritual help. We're God's ambassadors. We're not just social workers. Number five, make sure God gets any glory, not you. Not you. I like what Peter said. Peter went to the lame man. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now, don't tell the waitress that. You know, she's not going to like that. And by the way, I'm mindful of that. When I go to give somebody a tract, I'm mindful of the amount that I've given in a tip or whatever. I don't want to make God look bad. Well, I'm not going to. I've talked to servers at restaurants that have received what they call prayer cards, but they mean tracts, and they've received tracts with no money. Silver and gold have I none. Well, but you just could afford the meal that you just ate, but you can't afford to tip the server. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but don't make God look bad. Okay, do something that gives him glory. If I give a good tip, sometimes I'll write on the receipt, God bless, and I'll put a tract there. As if to say, look, you can give God glory for anything here. God is taking care of you. And so Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So in the name of the Lord, this God loves you, and God wants to take care of you. And so give God the glory, not yourself. Number six, realize that could be you. You ever thought about that? That person who's struggling, that could be you. That could be your son or your daughter who's on the street. Realize that. And but by the grace of God, there go I. Number seven, lastly, realize you'll get it back someday. You'll get it back someday. Proverbs 19:17, it's a wonderful verse. I've claimed it before. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. God says, hey, if you will have pity on the poor, could you just let me borrow a few bucks? That's what God says. And he's not doing that because he needs it. He's doing it because he wants to test you and help to develop and to mold and mature you in your faith. So he says, could you let me borrow some dollars? I'll make sure I get it back to you. And you can never outgive God. And God says, I'll get it back to you. And that doesn't mean you're going to all of a sudden get rich. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. it may be in this life. It may be in the next. And you never know what God is going to do. But we have to be faithful. He says, don't glean every little scrap of the field. Leave those for the poor and leave some handfuls